Carlson Adam, reporting from Washington.
As Americans observe Veterans Day, the chief of podiatric medicine and surgery at the McGuire Veterans Administration Medical Center said veterans with diabetes should watch out for diabetic foot ulcers. Need to go to the VA hospital if they observe that. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road. And hello once again. It's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog Living in a Digital World, the show with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news that you can use every weekend here on KCNR 1460 and podcast throughout the known universe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Also on TuneIn Radio, to the best of our knowledge, although we didn't officially go on TuneIn. Somebody just did that for us.
That's been true for a long time before we got on Stitcher and Google Play and iTunes.
Yeah.
So,
up front, an apology. I know I said last week that we would do this week as a live show in the KCNR studios.
We got derailed.
derailed
by homeownership.
Life got in the way. It is our intention to do a live show possibly... before we get off on Black Friday and all that sort of thing. We have some preview stuff for Black Friday and Cyber Monday, the big shopping days. Some teases about what to expect on the shelves for this Christmas season. I'm not really in that mood. I'm not in the mindset for Christmas yet, though.
No, I seldom am until after Thanksgiving because I usually work through up to Thanksgiving, and then I have time to deal with the holidays. And it's just there's so much work associated with the holidays that maybe some of the tech news that we're providing will take some of that away for you. But we'll see. Technology can help you, but it can also create too many choices sometimes.
Now, I will say that if you are thinking about a television, this is probably the year that I would say, yeah, it's okay to go ahead and think about getting a 4K television. The flagship, they are still, there's enough content out there now. The streaming services are starting to give you 4K.
Prices are down a little.
Yeah, prices are down a lot. And I would not go 4K, though, unless you have a really, really robust internet connection.
If you're going to stream, that's very true.
A lot of digits flowing across your pathway. If you have an old, you know, DSL system that's not breaking 6 megabytes, you're going to be very disappointed with your 4K because it's just going to be compressed to death. If you are one of those lucky souls who has the 25 megabit high-speed connection PHY on you, or there's people in this area where we live who are getting up into that 100 megabit range.
Would be nice. Yeah. Would be nice. I think hardly anybody has that.
Yeah, no, very few, but it's coming. We're just lagging 4 or 5 years behind in this part of the country.
Well, that's what you get for kind of living in a ruralish area, for sure.
So, yes, we will talk during this program about some of the Black Friday deals being offered. Best Buy's got theirs out. Walmart and Amazon, of course, does really big business on Black Friday.
Yeah, and they're already live, I understand, some of those deals. You don't have to wait till Black Friday to take advantage of
them. Right,
and
everybody's trying. It's like hearing Christmas music on Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we wanted to talk about this week, and this story Brenda was talking about to me earlier because she had seen it somewhere, the Associated Press recently did a quite the expose on a when you hear about this, you go, oh, I'm not surprised. But it has to do with the people who, when you think about Silicon Valley, you think about the engineers and the entrepreneurs and the venture capitalists and the people who pull down huge amounts of money. You know, these are the people who have $15 wood-grilled avocado, and to them it was no big deal to go drop $1,000 on an iPhone so they could be among the first, and they have very nice designer jeans and all that because they're pulling down, you know, $200K a year. But what about the people who work in the company cafeteria? What about the people who clean the streets? What about the people who do the micro dirty jobs?
What about the people who are working in the company cafeteria?
Correct.
The janitorial services and all of those basic, you could think of them as service infrastructure jobs that are out there. They're not paying $200,000 a year for that, or even half of that, not even a quarter of that. And the cost of living in that area is so high that it's created a very interesting problem.
Single-bedroom apartments are going in the Mountain View area for $3,000 a month.
Or more.
Yeah, or more if you can find them.
Yeah. I don't think there's too many people listening that could afford a one-bedroom apartment for $3,000 a month.
No.
In fact, there's probably no one that listens to this program that can afford that. That is steep city.
So this problem was confined to places like San Francisco, but it has spread down into Silicon Valley. It is becoming more prevalent as the people who need to work in these cities cannot afford to live in these areas, so they have to commute. There's an extra expense. If they have children, there's an extra expense, and that $15 wage suddenly doesn't
go very far.
Yeah, it doesn't go anywhere.
So what has happened is that this has generated a full-time workforce that's homeless.
Yeah.
Because to commute takes time and money. If you can even find anything within a reasonable commute distance, the work is there and they're willing to do the work. They're doing the work. So what a lot of them have done is they either live in their cars, buy gym memberships to have a place to take a shower, or they live in a motorhome, but they do the similar kind of things. These are not motorhomes that are in parks. They park them on the street.
Yeah, these aren't bums. These aren't druggies.
No.
These aren't people who want to live outside of society. They cannot afford to live in society. And you've got this haves, have-nots that has just mushroomed in these high-tech, very affluent areas where the ordinary person, you've got this gulf between the highly paid people and the people who support them.
And there doesn't seem to be much in the middle in some cases, or folks that are, you know, if you bought your house a long time ago there, then yeah, you can afford to make payments or what have you, but rents are ridiculous.
And the other part of the problem is that these people who have all these high-paying jobs and can afford the nice houses, well, they don't want to see an apartment block go up. Apartment blocks are being torn down to make room for fancy campuses and retail space, and there's nowhere left to live. And the NIMBY people say, we're not going to have the ordinary folk living money. So you've got the nobility in their castle, and the serfs are off toiling and living in straw houses.
They give an example here of one person in San Jose who was a lecturer at San Jose State University. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you're a lecturer at a state university, you have some chops of some kind. You have an education. You have some skills. You know, they don't just hire folks with no experience and things like that. She lives in her old Volvo. She's paid $28,000 a year to teach English classes, but she has quite a bit of debt, $143,000 in debt, after earning her 2 degrees, which give her the ability to teach at the university for such a princely sum. And teaching part-time, she's not a full-time associate professor or something like that, where you would have a much better salary. I'm sure she's only teaching this course, and that's, you know, decent for what she's doing, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
and she does all kinds of stuff on the side. And so this is becoming quite a problem. They have had some churches there open up areas for these motorhomes to park and things like that. And these are just the people that have some means that are able to buy a motorhome. There's plenty of others who do not have that means. So some would say, well, that's the big rift between the haves and have-nots, if you will, and the uber-rich and the working poor and all of this kind of thing. And definitely that's always been around. But this is even more than that. This is beyond that, where affordable housing in the area where these folks are working to in a reasonable distance is a problem.
And the solution is not a simple one. I mean,
no.
There are those, well, just tax the rich. Well, that works until you run out of rich.
You know, so what can we do as technology consumers? Well, not a lot, right? Because other than maybe you don't want to spend $1,000 on an iPhone 10 as a means of protest, but that doesn't seem likely to be happening. There'll be plenty of other people around that are perfectly willing to do that. And it's kind of interesting. If you've been to San Francisco in the last few years, it's well known for its homeless tent encampments, and there are some doozies down there.
Yeah.
They have little hooches. They've got somewhere, you know, it's not that they are necessarily without means, so they can buy plywood or something to make their little hooch, but they definitely can't afford to live in the neighborhood they work in. And so, well, why don't they move? Well, that takes resources too. And where are they going to go? You know, and if you take all of the people out of there who are homeless and can't do that, well, who's going to do the work?
Right.
So it's just, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how probably unintended consequences of a high-tech industry that is very successful and doing well has created this other social problem.
And these aren't necessarily jobs that are going to be replaced by robotics
sometimes. Right. No, there's some of them
are. There's no money in that.
Yeah, teaching English is not necessarily going to be replaced by a robot. Yeah. So quite an interesting problem. And cost of living there, I have a coworker that many, many years ago said, how did you afford to live in the San Francisco area? He said, you had 7 roommates in a 2-bedroom place. And it's the only way you could afford to live. So that's like living like a rat in a tin can.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yep.
And it's really sad.
So among the jobs that you would find in Palo Alto and San Jose and throughout the valley would be taxi drivers or maybe Uber or Lyft drivers. And one of the efforts here is to get rid of the drivers in favor of driverless cars. Now, municipalities are looking at driverless buses. If you don't have to pay the people and the buses drive themselves around, all well and good. Well, the city of Las Vegas tried this.
And this is a perfect place for that, actually, because there is a lot of traffic congestion there, if you've ever been there, especially during conventions and things like that. And there's a lot of point A to point B to point C to point D type of travel that's very convenient there, especially along the strip. But it didn't go so well.
It took less than 2 hours for Las Vegas's brand new, much proclaimed self-driving shuttle to be involved in a collision on Wednesday, thanks to a human error. The autonomous bus made a debut around the so-called Innovation District. I imagine it would have been a big thing at the upcoming CES, which we are skipping this year, but it probably would have been a big deal to have autonomous vehicles, because Ford Motor Company is going to be keynoting CES.
Yes, and they believe that that is the next big thing in the automotive industry, and they are investing heavily in moving in that direction.
Turns out that a large truck was illegally backing up, and the shuttle did not know how to get out of the way.
Yeah, didn't.
So the truck backed into the shuttle.
Didn't have instructions for that in its program.
Programmer said the shuttle did what it was supposed to do in that its sensors registered the truck as a hazard. The shuttle stopped to avoid the accident. Unfortunately, the delivery truck did not stop and grazed the front fender. Well, now that we're seeing more details, you know, involved in a crash, and you're thinking, you know, body parts and glass on the road.
I believe no one was injured.
The oval-shaped shuttle cars can seat up to 8 people. It was developed by a French company, uses GPS, curb sensing, and other technology to find its way. It moves about 15 miles an hour. Before the crash, dozens of people had lined up to get a free trip on a loop around Fremont Street in Las Vegas. But
you know, what's interesting about this is when you look at this, this is a cute little thing. It's this blue kind of pod-looking car. It sort of looks like a Volkswagen, older-style Volkswagen bus, but that's been stretched vertically by quite a bit. And
No driver.
Right. And so AAA, American Automobile Association, wants to be in on this. Their logo's prominently displayed on this thing. And they had teamed up with the French transportation company. I'm not sure how I would say that. Kaoli or something like that, depending on how they pronounce that in French. And but they still they did a trial run. Of course, they didn't encounter this problem in a trial run. The rides are free, and what AAA plans to do is donate $1 per passenger to the Las Vegas shooting event victims fund for a minimum of $100,000. So that, you know, that part's real nice. Yeah. But of course, if you're going to do this now, you're going to be subjected to one of those dreaded surveys that are everywhere these days. But I guess that works. Their studies have shown that a majority of Americans are still rather anxious about self-driving technology. Well, of course, you're giving up control to a device, right?
But let's point out, human error, according to the AAA, was responsible for more than 90% of the 30,000 deaths on U.S. roads in 2016.
That's really not a surprise.
But people will still say, well, it won't happen to me because I am in control and I am competent.
And I'm a good driver.
And I'm a good driver. I'm a good swimmer, so I don't need the life jacket.
Right. It's the same logic.
Which is often famous last word.
Well, or words that don't pan out so well. Though they do still require that there be a monitor on board the little free shuttle and that sort of thing. I mean, it would be interesting to experience this for sure. My brother, who reads about all things,
it's kind of like driver's ed when the instructor had his own brake pedal.
Right. have somebody else has some control over what's going on. My brother, who reads heavily about the automotive industry, being a mechanical engineer and into all things machine, made some really good points in a conversation I had with him about this. And he said, first of all, you can't mix human drive cars very well with autonomous vehicles because of these problems that humans have when driving vehicles. And there are some people who don't like this idea because they are the autonomous vehicle may not be aggressive enough for them. And I thought that was an interesting point, to where, you know, I want to go over here now. I want to go the lane changer. Think about the lane changer. That's aggressive driving.
Yeah.
And the autonomous vehicle won't do that. And so in order to get one car length ahead, you nearly caused three wrecks. That's just...
Just to get to the stoplight.
Yeah, exactly. So those kind of problems exist, mixing the two together. And then so his philosophy was that there will be lanes on the freeway, like there's high occupancy vehicle lanes.
The HOV lanes.
Yeah, you have the HOV lanes may become autonomous-driven vehicle lanes instead, at least for a while. Because it probably, and this is a good example of why, it's difficult to mix autonomous driven vehicles with human-driven vehicles.
Now, Waymo, which is a alternative to which that's a Google company, they announced last Tuesday they are launching a fully autonomous Uber-like ride-hailing service with no human drivers in Phoenix, Arizona, in the next few months. That would be the first such service accessible to the public with no one sitting behind the wheel. Like I said, we're looking at Johnny Cab here from Total Recall.
And I think my brother has a good perspective on this, is that again, there are going to be problems because you're mixing two different technologies, if you will, together, and they're not necessarily compatible.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, this probably leads to areas like urban centers where there is nothing but autonomous vehicles allowed, You are not allowed to self-drive a car. You may be able to bring your own car in, but it better be an autonomously driven vehicle. So I don't know. Is there going to be a transition in the industry? It'll be interesting to see how that goes, of where it has an autonomous mode and a manual mode. That, you know, they already talk about that, so that when you're out on the open highway somewhere else where that autonomous stuff may not be as welcome or what have you, or required, mm-hmm. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this evolves. It seems safe to say, however, that in some capacity, driverless cars will become part of the culture. They will become mm-hmm. part of the vehicles that we see on the road.
Meanwhile, Vespa is launching an electric scooter with a 62-mile range. No price available yet. Parent company Piaggio went to the Milan Motorcycle Show and showed off their forthcoming scooter. Price has not been announced, and no exact date of shipping. Eager customers from around the world will be able to pre-order it. The Vespa Electrita will have a range of 100 kilometers. That's about 62 miles. Depends on whether you, on the terrain, of course, and the environment. But
you live
it
in
will
a...
also have electric performance, which we were talking about this morning on our way in here. Electric vehicles, if you've never driven a hybrid, be ready for a surprise. Because
They jackrabbit from start. Yeah. The power is there right now. And I mean right now.
Yeah.
You get used to it, of course, but if you've never driven that before, it's a bit of a surprise. That's one cool thing about electric vehicles. This thing's kind of cute, but...
Now, it'll recharge in 4 hours from an ordinary wall outlet, so right. You wouldn't have to have the superchargers and things like that. So existing infrastructure will support these vehicles.
So if you live in a climate that's really hot, however, that may shorten your battery life. That's just from experience. All batteries seem to suffer from heat. If you live in a really cold climate, it's unlikely in that case that you'd be riding around on your electric scooter
in really
cold weather. The thing that came to mind the other day when a coworker was thinking about getting an electric vehicle because of a relatively lengthy commute that's going to develop a 30 to 35-mile commute or something like that each way. I mean, that's 70 miles a day. Getting an electric car, and it was like, oh, did I see a plug-in on our campus somewhere? I said, don't think so, but... This raises a question, too, in my mind, that as we see more of these vehicles and there's spots and parking lots for these things, who's going to pay that power bill?
Well,
so
what I'm thinking is covered parking with solar panels on top, especially in an area like Reading, where in a lot of the year you've got
all kinds of sunshine,
300 sunny days a year.
Yeah, got a lot of them. That might work there.
Then stalls with... you would have some set aside for these small scooter-type vehicles and some for plug-in hybrids or full plug-in vehicles. Now, mm-hmm. a friend of ours owns a plug-in electric that actually has sufficient range to make it all the way over here from Eureka, right?
Well, the Volt is not a pure electric.
Okay. So
it's a mix. So, as I understand it...
It's a PUH, plug-in hybrid.
I think so.
Maybe
it is. I will look that up. But they have a Volt anyway, and they love it. So the range is always an issue with these things, of course.
Yeah.
But again, who's going to pay the power bill? Why should I expect my employer to recharge my car, right? And so that is, if you have employees that don't have that and employees that do get that benefit, well, that's, what do I get?
Yeah.
You know, that's of like kind. So paying stations... recharge stations like that, or whatever. Infrastructure. Now in Alaska, most parking lots at places of employment have plug-ins for block heaters.
And that's
the company just pays it. But the consequences of not having block heaters there, it's cheaper for them to have them. But you can plug-ins, you know, for your block heaters.
Yeah, I said I'd never want to live in a place where electric cords dangling out of your radiator was a common sight. Just not my thing. Hey, when we come back from here on Boomer Tech Radio, we'll talk about some Black Friday features. Also, Amazon has released their first home security camera. And there's a story about an interesting technology, but I'm just irritated as all get out about how they did the story. And it's one of my pet peeves about modern journalism. So I'll rant.
As a journalist, from a journalist.
From a journalism standpoint. It is Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. This is the tech news you could use. Back after the bottom of the hour break.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
At Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions is in everything we do, including our new personal checking accounts with added features designed to give you a little extra security and peace of mind. Cell phone insurance gives you up to $300 to repair or replace your phone if it's damaged or stolen. And ID protection provides ongoing identity monitoring, 3-in-1 credit reports, and identity theft resolution services. Plus, each personal checking account comes with access to branches throughout Northern and Central California. Over 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs, advanced online and mobile banking, and live banker support by phone 7 days a week. With our unique brand of service with solutions, we strive to improve your financial success and well-being. To learn more about our new personal checking accounts, stop by your local branch or visit tricountiesbank.com. Insurance products are not insured by FDIC or a federal government agency, not a deposit of or guaranteed by the bank or any bank affiliate. Member FDIC.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Linda and I live a pretty hectic life, and when we get away, we want to have a place that provides solitude and quiet. Well, we found that place, Cottage by the Sea, over in Smith River. Imagine a weekend away from all the concerns of your everyday life. Sunrise, sunsets, walk on a beach that is never crowded. Privacy, quiet, and solitude. Cottage has full kitchen, hot tub, ocean views, and it's only a short drive to Brookings, Oregon if you want to go over there to the shops. Call Lori at 541-469-3414. That's Cottage by the Sea.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done.
Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Every week, goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and tech news you can use is brought to you here on Boomer Tech Radio, both the live broadcast and the podcast. We invite you to write to BoomerTechRadio at gmail.com. Log on to the website, BoomerTechRadio.com. So I was complaining a little bit in a previous break about, Christmas music, like right around Halloween or worse, Labor Day. That's the worst offender I ever saw.
Was that somebody that really liked Christmas music, or was that like in a
this was in
one, a store?
This was like a Rite Aid or Walgreens
That's
it was right after, and the first Christmas things were going up, and it was Labor Day weekend. We're going, what the hell?
The word atrocious comes to mind. That's beyond obnoxious.
I haven't seen that since, but it was like
maybe they got
disturbing.
Too many complaints.
Well, jumping the gun, it's become a common practice the last few years. Leading U.S. retailers all trying to outdo the other guys. They get an early start to Black Friday shopping. Best Buy's trying to set some sort of record. They are more than 2 weeks ahead of the biggest shopping day of the year. Now, the bulk of the bargains will still be November 23rd, 5 p.m. on and offline, but hundreds of early Black Friday ad deals have gone live to kind of whet your appetite of the this is written tongue-in-cheek, of the Consumer Electronic Corporation's extraordinary generosity.
What? Generosity.
Generosity.
That's not the word I would use.
Yeah.
Another word that starts with G comes to mind.
Yeah.
Like greed.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a little too far, but I would not use the word
so
generosity.
So let us look at
must have been an internal company hack right this.
Yeah. For $225, you can get a Moto G5 Plus after a $75 discount. Now, the Moto G5 Plus smartphone has been rated as the best bargain smartphone of all of them, and getting an unlocked model for $225 is
pretty smoking deal.
The Honor 6X phone will be about $150. And the iPhone 6S, if you get your AT&T next installment plan through Best Buy, would start at $10 a month. Not bad at all.
That's not too bad.
If you've been thinking about the smartwatch and you just have decided to finally dive into the pool, an Apple Watch Series 1 is available now for $199.
And up. Base model.
Yep. And an iPad Mini 4. At $275, an iPad Mini 4 becomes a pretty good deal.
Because with 128 gig, that's not too bad.
Yep.
I love these ads, $199 and more. It's like starting at $199.
Yeah, there's three of them at that.
Yeah.
If you've been lusting after a 10.5-inch iPad Pro, you can get $150 savings. Meanwhile, a Surface Pro with the Core processor bundled type cover, that's down almost over $350, down to about $630. So that's a big cut.
It looks like Galaxy Note 8, S8, and 8S8 Pluses will have some discounts, as will an iPhone 8 and 8 Plus. LG has some and stuff there, as well as Motorola Moto. And some of this is tied, of course, to the carrier that is there and some other cheap things. I have a coworker that has an iPhone 4
mm-hmm.
and complains yeah. that stuff doesn't work on it. And it's
well,
like,
yeah,
it's, dude, it's old enough. He says, yeah, I know. I have to get a new phone.
It's becoming a paperweight.
It's like, which one do you choose? He says he knows he's going to be forced into it. But so I'll tell him, maybe you need to go to Best Buy here and see what's going on. You might be able to get a decent deal on a major
Amazon
upgrade.
Here, this may be the time. Now, I know people who absolutely say, I will never have anything except paper books. Well, if you're traveling, I'm here to tell you, it's a whole lot easier to have a Kindle. And when a Fire 7 Slate costs $30,
that's pretty good. Yep.
For $25, you can get the Fire Stick with Alexa voice remote. For $120, you can get an Echo Plus, and for $180, the Echo Show, which actually has a screen. Now, of course, all the Amazon stuff is designed to steer you into the Amazon sales ecosystem. But it's awfully hard to beat $30 for what's a functional tablet.
Yeah, it's
there are a lot of apps that will run on the
Slate, on the Fire 7 Slate.
On the Fire, yeah.
Or the Fire 7. This is great for kids. You know, when you think about it, a $30 tablet is a great thing for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's pretty tough to beat these things. You are now getting down into the range of where just about everybody can afford something like this and take advantage of it. And, you know, we've talked about this before, that our Amazon Kindles, if we have to travel light, they are a functional net interface, and they also have a lot of e-books on there. The only thing about that is that you do have to be cognizant of power management.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where an analog hard print paper copy of a book is nice. It doesn't require any batteries.
Yeah.
But it's also bulkier and can be heavier if you're packing several of these around. And if you're a voracious reader or have long trips or what have you, finding power is relatively easy these days, and it saves you a lot of weight in packing stuff around.
Yeah, this also jumps up the question about power banks. And right now you can get a 10,000 milliamp hour power bank for about $25. Which is pretty nice. Now, 10,000 milliamp hour is the biggest power bank that you are allowed to carry with you on an aircraft. So be cognizant of that. You see these great big monster ones so that you can recharge your iPad 10 times off of it. Don't take one of those because TSA will take it away from you.
The comment in one of these articles is about the iPad Mini 4 that's so cheap. You know, do your homework on these, because sometimes, as in this case, you get into a refurbished unit, and if you do order one of these, they don't ship it in, you know, manufacturer packaging, and you can't get an extended warranty. But maybe you don't care about that. Yeah. At that price, maybe you're not worried about it.
Right.
You know, so there's a wide variety of options out there for folks, and I don't buy extended warranties on that stuff anyway. So, you know, it's up to you what you want to do. There is no such thing as a free lunch, so do your homework. It's not like you're getting out of the box, fresh from the factory type thing in a lot of these cases. But refurbs are usually up to base the direct manufacturer specifications,
yeah.
And there's really nothing wrong with that.
A
especially
lot
if they're more affordable for you.
Refurbs were products that were returned due to pilot error.
Right.
People just,
that.
They weren't broken, and since that people couldn't really figure out how to use them.
And they can't sell them for new, mm-hmm. So they sell them at a discount.
Oh, speaking of Amazon, they have just released their first home security camera. They're jumping into the bandwagon. The Amazon Cloud Cam indoor security camera supports 1080 streaming, night vision, motion detection, and is tightly integrated into the Amazon ecosystem. Now, that give some people pause, because who controls the data and imagery,
right,
and stuff that is captured,
yep,
by these cameras and goes uploaded? Because right now it isn't just facial recognition, it's object recognition. Would the camera within its field of view say, okay, you've got a Frigidaire refrigerator that's X number of years old. Let's push a new refrigerator at you. Well, you've got a dog. Let's push pet products at you.
Right. And another insidious part about that, though, is that, oh, we notice that you spend time in your living room between the hours of 6:30 and 11 p.m.
Yeah, who controls the information?
But even if they don't sell that information, it's going to be used, trust me, to push things on you in a marketing capacity, because that is what Amazon does. That's
their stock
in trade. You don't mind that and you're impervious to those intrusions into your life about, you know, you should buy this now because, you know, make your life easier while you're spending time in your living room between 6:30 and 11, fine. But most people don't even know this is happening to them.
So you're going to want to have this stuff locked down pretty good. And I've got a story that I can pull up about Wi-Fi security. Nobody thinks about Wi-Fi security anymore, but it still happens. So here are some of the features on the Amazon Cloud Cam. 24/7 monitoring.
Well, duh.
Notifications when there
wouldn't be any good if it only worked Monday through Friday 8 to right. 5.
This is right from Amazon's product page.
Sure.
You get notified when the Cloud Cam sees activity. You can then use the app to check the live view. Has night vision. In other words, has infrared emitters built into the camera.
Any decent security system should have that anyway.
Two-way audio. Check in with the family or tell the dog to quit barking.
Oh,
that doesn't work when I'm standing there.
Yeah, exactly.
A free trial of their advanced features. You can ask the A-Lady to show you your live feed on your Amazon Fire TV, Fire Tablet, Echo Show, or Echo Spot. Cloud Cam's intelligence lives in the cloud and is always getting smarter.
Right. In other words, it's always gathering more data on you and figuring out what it is that you do when and how you do it and what you're into and blah, blah, blah. So, I'm not sure. So, and undoubtedly, this is not a free service.
Right, right.
Yeah, you're going to pay for some sort of monitoring anyway. So not only do you buy their device, you hook it up and then pay them for them to gather data on you.
Yeah.
Am I being too sarcastic?
Well,
too cynical?
There's this balance and privacy issue. In fact, a senator, there's a new television service called over-the-air television service called ATSC3. It's about 10 years down the road, maybe a little closer than that. But there's a couple of things that Congress has questions about ATSC3. The first of which is that it's going to obsolete all the TVs that are out there now. We just switched over the flat screen.
I know. There's some people that still don't even have digital.
Yeah. So you'll need either a dongle or a new set. But one of the abilities of ATSC 3 technology is that custom ads can be inserted into the feed to your television. Think about that. Over the air.
I don't like any ads.
Yeah.
You get spoiled when you watch streaming stuff.
Well, yeah. And of course, you are paying for that privilege. Anyway.
I'm waiting for ads to show up even when you do pay for the privilege.
Black Friday. Walmart's Black Friday 2017 deals will include 4K smart TVs. Now, I already told you. Look at a 4K television. Shop them. Most flat panel televisions use very similar screens. The screen itself, minus the electronics that do the processing, are generally from the same plants. So let's see here. Most of these deals are take effect on November 23rd, but there are some early deals. You can get a Google Home Mini for $29. That's down from the usual $50. The Element 39-inch class smart TV, a 39-inch TV for $125.
Okay, that's pretty affordable.
Yep. A Sharp 55-inch 4K TV. Now, mind you, these are not top-of-the-line. These are Walmart. These are often made special for Walmart. But a Sharp 55-inch 4K television, $298.
Yep. this is getting into the range of where, you know, things used to be. And you said years ago, wait, the price of these things will come down. One other thing to know about Walmart's Black Friday deals, though, is to really take advantage of it and to be a winner is that you need to download the app to take advantage of their online deals and also to see their full list of the discounts. So, you know, it's getting very competitive out there.
Game consoles are still popular and will remain so for quite some time. The Xbox One S console bundle, $249. I think retail on that is close to $400, so that's a pretty good deal. So, Black Friday.
I heard a friend said they heard a rumor that Costco was going to be offering all their televisions at half price sometime coming up, but I don't think that's Costco's thing.
No. When do you want a smart coffee cup?
One that maybe doesn't overcook your coffee or
why
whatever?
Why would you want a smart coffee cup? Well, here's the thing. As any coffee drinker knows, you've got your coffee or tea. You're reading your book, whether it be electronic or page type. You go reach down to take a sip and discover, oh, no.
It's cold.
It's gone cold. Yuck! An L.A.-based startup company is making a temperature-controlled ember ceramic mug. It connects to your phone through Bluetooth and allows you to set an ideal temperature for whatever you're drinking. Once your beverage reaches that temperature, the mug will maintain it. It does go into sleep mode after 2 hours, so you're not scorching your mug. But it actually, rather than apply a heating element, it monitors the temperature so that as you drink it down, it doesn't get hotter and hotter until it boils out and turns into nasty sludge.
Really? What privilege do we pay for this? What do we pay for this privilege?
Well, I'm trying to find.
It is kind of cool if you're really that concerned about that. I don't see a price point.
I'm scanning through.
Yeah, I'm not seeing a price point. Oh, there we go. $150.
$150 for a coffee cup.
Mm. Oh, wait.
Is that
they had a previous one. They said, but this one's going to be $79.
Oh, $79. Okay.
Yucko. It's available exclusively at Starbucks. And also on Ember's website. Ember is the company that makes this.
2 years ago, Ember launched their first product, a temperature-controlled travel mug that heats and cools drinks. So that's sort of the cooling is the tricky part. That would require some form of Peltier junction is what they call them, is how the new coolers work that don't have a moving refrigerator in them.
Mm-hmm.
But that heat has to go somewhere. So interesting. But if you just got too many, if you've got money to burn on a self-heating coffee cup, there you go.
Well, this is a great comment here in this article about this from Fast Company. It talks about this company's been around a while. A couple of years ago, it launched a temperature-controlled travel mug that had, you know, some success. CEO of Ember says it was the Tesla business model by launching a premium product, the travel mug from previous deals. It had a digital screen and phase change cooling. It's, you know, space technology in your hand, but at $150, it sold well, but it hit a ceiling. You know, only so many are going to sell type of thing. So if this is really, really important to you or you just enjoy the luxury of that, go for it. You know, it might be something that you use all the time and derive a great deal of pleasure from. Of course, part of my thing is how are you going to end up with your coffee mug out in the garage or the carport or in the garden or whatever? Because it does require power for this thing to work, so you have to be close to an outlet.
Yeah.
So far, they haven't done a wireless one.
Marissa Meyer, remember her? She oversaw Yahoo, during its decline and fall.
Yeah, it was supposed to, you know, Yahoo's going to come back to life and such like.
The former Yahoo CEO who was at the helm when Yahoo ran aground and knew nothing about the data breach of every single person who has ever used a Yahoo account ever. Yeah, that Marissa Meyer. She has turned up again and was sort of punched up on by Congress. Lawmakers from the Senate Commerce Committee grilled Mayor like a cheese sandwich all day Wednesday. Along with, she was in good company, though. She had Equifax's former and interim CEOs and an executive of Yahoo's new owner, which is a subsidiary of Verizon. Over just what responsibility did these companies have for the historic data breaches that saw billions, with a B, of Americans' privacy compromised? Mayer is apologetic. Now, mind you, Marissa Mayer is not living in an RV somewhere on the streets of Silicon Valley. She did all right in her severance from Yahoo.
Undoubtedly.
Mayer says she apologizes to each and every one of her users. Now, if she was a 3 billion user loss, if she could apologize to one per second, it would take
a long time.
One of the hacks was committed by Russian operatives. The U.S. says several Russian agents were arrested by the Department of Justice. It could all happen again. Mayer says that she believes even the most well-defended companies could fall victim to the crimes. She noted that all companies are under threat from persistent hack attempts and need the help of the U.S. government to go after and arrest those nasty bad guys.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at this perspective. One of the senators asked their customers more secure today than before the breach, and the rather redirected answer was that the company takes the customer security very
seriously.
Well, that's
right out of,
it's like,
out of right, public relations.
Oh my gosh, yes. That is just turning it around, and you don't confirm it, you don't deny it, you don't address it, you just take it over here somewhere else. That is classic.
Senators also threw Equifax on the barbecue for security lapses that led to loss of private financial history for about 145.5 million Americans.
Equifax CEO insisted that Equifax was the victim of the criminal attack. Really?
Senator Bill Nelson of Florida took exception to that statement, saying that Equifax was not a victim.
No.
The customers of Equifax were the victim.
And I don't...
These people walked away with fat paychecks.
And you're a customer of Equifax whether you
signed
up for it or
not.
Yeah. Yes, you're in there. If you've done any kind of credit, you have a bank account, you have anything like that, you're in there. It's insane.
Yeah. All right. So one of my all-time, as we get ready to wrap up this hour, one of my all-time favorite movies was Aliens. And the scene where Sigourney Weaver climbs into the exoskeleton and kicks butt on the alien queen.
Yep.
Who wouldn't want one of those things?
Pacific Rim.
Yeah. You've got... Well, Ford is developing an exoskeleton to reduce fatigue because it gives your muscles a boost when you're doing repetitive tasks or you're trying to lift a heavy load. The upper body exoskeleton is called ExoVest. It's non-powered, but it apparently stores energy in springs and helps you regain that energy. It helps some of these people change light bulbs or paint a ceiling. The Auto Workers Union is on board. The ExoVest is currently being used in a couple of plants as a pilot program. So like the jackets in the Tom Cruise movie with the aliens, the exoskeletons that they were wearing or any of these things, if we can figure out how to power these things, it's going to make it's going to make construction and repetitive task work a whole lot safer and easier. Now, mind you, if the thing decides to go berserk, you could have a bad day.
What's kind of nice about this is it doesn't require any power, and it's analog that way, but you know darn well they'll come up with powered systems.
Boomer Tech Radio will continue after the top of the hour news. Stay tuned.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
I'm Ron DeRockstrom. President Trump says U.S. veterans everywhere deserve our thanks.
On this wonderful Veterans Day, I want to express the incredible gratitude of the entire American nation to the millions and millions of veterans who bravely defended our nation in uniform and the strong families whose unwavering love and support allowed you to answer the call of duty.
First responders and law enforcement personnel stood with heads bowed today in Sutherland Springs for a Veterans Day ceremony that was also meant to honor the more than two dozen people killed a block away at a church. Meanwhile, the site of last week's massacre will be turned into a temporary memorial.
The sanctuary of the small-town Texas church where a gunman carried out a massacre will be turned into a temporary memorial. The ground steward of First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs told the Associated Press that services will never take place there again, and the building will eventually be demolished. Ground steward Rod Green says the building will be scrubbed down, and the church will place 26 chairs inside to commemorate the victims. I'm Walter Ratliff.
U.S. Senate candidate Roy Moore is again denying allegations of sexual misconduct with an underage child, said there will be revelations concerning the Washington Post article that brought him to light in the first place over the next few days. Moore called the Post article fake news and said the accusations are completely false and untrue about something that happened nearly 40 years ago. Alabama holds a special election December 12th. Fill the U.S. Senate seat previously held by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Moore will be facing Democrat Doug Jones in that election. A couple of top 25 finals. 11th-ranked Ohio State beat 13th-ranked Michigan State 48-3, and it was 16th-ranked Penn State over Rutgers 35-6. News and analysis at townhall.com.
You know, you can get tremendous pain relief benefits with Relief Factor without any of the negative side effects of ibuprofen. Why? Because this is natural, healthy stuff. There are no side effects. There's no prescription drugs. There's no chemicals. Just good, healthy dietary supplements that unleash your own body's natural healing powers. 80% of people who start with a quick start, just $19.95 for 3 whole weeks, end up getting more Relief Factor. You should give it a try. Again, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to relieffactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll free. 1-800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Iraq's prime minister says Iraqi forces are launching an operation to push Islamic State group fighters out of a patch of territory on the western edge of the country near the border with Syria.
Iraqi pro-government forces have made rapid progress in their operation to drive IS out of the last territory it holds in the country. When Rawa falls, IS will essentially be back to where it was before its sudden seizure of huge swathes of Iraq in 2014, a hidden insurgency carrying out terror attacks where it can. The group is now squeezed on both sides of the Iraqi-Syrian border. In Syria, its fighters still appear to be battling in the last town they hold there, Al-Bukamal, despite the Syrian army having claimed victory.
Correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. Hundreds of thousands of people backing Catalonia's bid to secede from Spain, packing the streets in downtown Barcelona today, demanding the release of 10 prominent members of the movement. More on these stories at townhall.com. Fisher House has saved military and veterans families millions in lodging and transportation.
Staff Sergeant Del Beatty, who served in the Iraq War, says everyone should know about Fisher House.
It's the best example of a public-private partnership with a foundation helping our military treatment system deal and provide great benefit to our military families.
And Beatty says Fisher House made it possible for him to get the love and support from his wife and extended family when he was injured.
It was certainly a direct media impact to our financial ability for her to even stay by my bedside, and then provided the opportunity to have the kids there. My mom and my dad came up to visit.
And through its Hero Miles program, which anyone can donate to, Fisher House has provided more than 63,000 plane tickets. I'm Shelley Adler.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
And welcome back. It is hour two of Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Goodies, gadgets, gizmos, tech, news. We hope you can use. Oh, dear me. It's been, you know, tech always kind of gets all ramped up this time of year.
Oh, yes.
It's frenzy to buy stuff. And
of course. Holiday season is nigh.
In the pre-tease for CES.
Yes, that too.
Now, the big thing at CES, Brenda and I walked around. What was the big thing going to be that, besides 4K television?
Well, artificial intelligence and augmented reality.
Yes, AR and VR.
Yes.
Virtual reality. Everything
the virtual
was
reality,
be virtual.
Right. Yes. All of this.
It hasn't happened yet.
No.
People get headaches. They throw up when they try to use these things.
Yeah, there was a lot of things there that were like that. And
parents, don't buy your kid the $39 VR goggles. They're crap. That will hurt your kid's eyes.
Well, there's, yeah, some things like that you have to be careful of.
But augmented reality, now the difference, we're going to explain this once more, of course.
Right.
Virtual reality completely takes over your vision and hearing. And puts you in a completely computer-generated world. Augmented reality overlays what you are seeing with computer-generated information, icons, things like that. Now, this is a big thing for engineers, scientists,
yep,
combat troops.
Interior design.
Yeah, interior design. Yeah, imagine going into having the furniture consultant come to your house and you put on the goggles and, well, this is the couch we're thinking of, this is the hutch and all that. It's kind of like those architectural drawings that you see in news articles of a thing that hasn't even been built yet.
Oh, yeah.
And you can walk through it.
Right.
Well, according to Android Authority, augmented reality apps and games will be available on hundreds of millions of Android smartphones by the end of 2018, according to business and operations lead for Google VR, Amit Singh. He talked out the search giant's AR ambitions at a recent web summit in Lisbon. Google is says they're on board for advanced AR support. I think what kind of kicked a lot of this, oddly enough, was the huge success of Pokemon Go. Now, aside from kids falling over cliffs and walking into lampposts and wandering out into traffic and they're playing the stupid game.
Not being too sensible.
It did show the commercial potentials as the first really successful mass market VR or AR game. Singh says the Arc Core project, that's Google's Android software development kit that lets developers produce AR capabilities to almost any Android device, device without the need for additional sensors for or hardware. Just by the way, Pokemon Go, it's brought in over $1 billion with a B dollars in revenue through in-app purchases. $1 billion.
In-app purchases.
In-app, yes.
I'm not sure, you know, it's just sort of like, if you get in one of those annoying phone calls that solicit some kind of sales on your phone, how likely are you to purchase that? This is really no different than in-app purchases are something of the same, where they're soliciting that you spend something in there. So I've never played Pokemon Go. I don't know what kind of in-app purchases were in there, but it's sort of like, anything I got to buy extra.
Yeah.
But imagine that, though. That is a substantial amount of money.
IKEA has already jumped in Apple's equivalent toolkit for the iPhone called the AR Kit. And here again, you hold up your phone. Instead of having to put on the goggles and all this junk, you can hold up the phone. The phone has a picture of your living space, and it'll say, well, if you get this product, that's what it'll look like in your living space. Well, what will it look like in blue?
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that is handy if that's the kind of thing you're looking for.
What
right?
would it look like if I put red drapes in here and painted the walls orange, you know, or something like that?
Yeah, those things are good, I think. But to have them show up and say, hey, look, isn't it time you paint your walls this color? You know, it's been a while since you've done this.
Yeah.
Now, that's the kind of stuff that I would find annoying.
Wallpaper that you can actually tap the wallpaper and change the room.
Ooh, now that would be cool.
Yeah. And it happens to serve as a Fahrenheit 451 style environment, a holodeck.
Yeah. So that would be interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt but what it will happen someday. Yeah.
So,
quite honestly,
I think that the entertainment arcades of the not too distant future are going to be a combination of AR and VR, where you are in an environment where the walls can change and be the distance vision, and then your near sight is occupied by... The goggles have to be smaller, lighter, easier to power, and less prone to make you sick to your stomach.
Right. One arena that I could see, both augmented, but certainly virtual reality playing a role is in real estate, where if you want to look at a property... some distance, even if it's just across town, you can actually walk through it as if you were there walking through the property itself. You have an opportunity to observe how it is and get a feel for what it's like to navigate around in that space. Because this is one of the biggest things. It's hard to look at a floor plan of some, let's say you want to build a house or remodel your house. It's hard to look at something on paper and envision how you would move through that.
Yeah.
So with a virtual reality, you get a very good feel for how you can move around through that space.
By the same token, in combat or tactical situations or police standoffs, things like that.
Yep.
In fact, and this was 30-plus years ago, the movie Runaway with Tom Selleck, which was a movie that was well ahead of its time. A little hokey in spots, but the idea is there. There's a hostage-type situation. Turns out it's a rogue robot, but the hostage situation, in order to see what's going on in the house, they launch a drone into the house. It sort of looked like a Simon Frisbee with a propeller inside of it, not like drones we're used to. But the whole idea was that the operator was virtually flying into the house to get a look. And we've got these drones now that are so tiny and virtually disposable. The show... the show Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they often make use of these drones to map out. In the movie Prometheus, they launched a flight of drones to map the interior of a structure, and that's in the not-too-distant future.
I think in some of the Stargate films, there was some technology.
Right,
Stargate
right,
shows,
yeah.
There was some technology like that, too.
But we're moving from the realm of science fiction to the realm of off-the-shelf technology.
Well, that is often the case, right? That's what a good sci-fi writer can do, is introduce the idea through fiction, but then...
Speculative fiction.
It becomes reality. It, you go, golly, it's kind of magical.
A lot of people were wondering exactly what was going to happen when Whole Foods, or Whole Paycheck Foods, as some folks like to call it, was purchased by Amazon. Well, one of the effects has been that Amazon Fresh is being shut down. But Whole Foods and Amazon's core business are teaming up to offer in-store discounts on Amazon devices, including the Echo, the Dot, Fire TV, and Fire tablets at over 100 Whole Foods stores. The idea here, is to get you into that ecosystem, because Amazon wants you to be able to say, "Hey, A, put tomatoes on my list. I'm going to need some flour. I want to make cioppino tonight." And the system will actually pull up the recipe, order all the ingredients, and either they are brought to your door, or you can go pick them up at the kiosk or at the nearest Whole Foods store.
As a general rule, they're, during the week before Black Friday, Amazon's going to offer some of these deals in Whole Foods stores. Generally, Peel's... $20 to $40 off the price of some of these things, the Echo Plus, the Kindle Paperwhite, the Amazon Cloud Cam, the Fire 7 tablet, and the Fire HD 8 tablet. And those two tablets are dirt cheap.
$46 for an HD 8. And the HD 8, we have talked about on this program,
yeah.
That's a very capable
robust
tablet.
Little, very capable, robust little tablet.
Great little entertainment device,
mm-hmm.
for traveling.
Yep. So it definitely... may pay to check into that if you're interested in that sort of thing. You know, it's like anything. Nothing's going to fall in your lap with this. Usually it's going to be a case of you having to pursue these things and go shopping for them if you really want them or whatever. But for some people, the hunt like that is part of the fun. Me, if I decide I want it, I would, you know, it's like, oh, cool, it's on sale. That's great, but I don't necessarily go seek it. That's what I have you for.
Yeah. Now, a few weeks back, we... mentioned that, and I was very skeptical about it, that Walt Disney, which of course owns Star Wars, owns Marvel, owns this, owns that, ESPN, and other properties, that Disney, and owns ABC, of course, that Disney was going to cut their ties with Netflix, with Amazon, with all these other outfits, and go their own way on their very own streaming service. Now, a lot of people remember the Disney Channel back in the cable days. And the Disney Channel, I think you paid an extra $39 a month for it.
Right,
it was
right,
not
right,
cheap.
Right.
Disney is revealing more details about their over-the-top digital entertainment app, the 2019 launch is expected. It's getting... difficult to sustain a legacy entertainment business. Consumers want on-demand digital video that
yep.
they can access
yep.
from companies
yep.
like Netflix, Facebook. linear options like movies to theaters, primetime shows on TV, less appealing because you want to watch it when you want to watch it and where you want to watch it.
Right.
CEO Bob Iger says that the new Walt Disney product will be priced, quote, significantly lower than Netflix. So this is the company that has Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars. Now, my complaint was when I first heard about this move was that not that many people are going to want to drop another $20 a month
right.
just to get these properties.
Yep.
It could backfire.
Yep.
Well, how much is significantly less? And I'm willing to bet the price point's going to be $9.90. What's a Netflix account? A Netflix account is about $12 right
now. I think so, something like that, right?
If they came in at an $8.99 price point,
mm-hmm.
I think they would get takers.
Right.
I would strongly consider it.
It's also going to go up over time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and so it will be comparatively, you know, relative because, you know, Netflix and whatever are going to go up too.
This is, of course, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars. The new streaming service will be commercial-free, and the Walt Disney Company plans to integrate commercials into the ESPN streaming. Iger says they're not planning to have the programming that airs in the direct service interrupted by commercials. He did say that sponsor program content is being considered. The name of the product isn't determined yet, and the lead-off of this service will probably be a new Star Wars trilogy series. So this is interesting. Disney reportedly has also approached 21st Century Fox in a deal to acquire Fox's entertainment and studio businesses. And that includes 21st Century Fox Studios, National Geographic,
FX Cable,
and a whole lot more. The mouse is roaring, baby.
The mouse is chewing cables.
Are they becoming, though, too big for their
right,
britches?
Exactly. I was going to say, that's a
Are
lot.
Are they turning into an entertainment monolith that could stumble and fall?
That's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, our...
One way to eliminate the competition.
Yeah, you just eat them up.
Yep.
It's not really. It's not the FTC who would be involved, but you know, regulators will take a look. Are they holding too much of the entertainment market share? It's like when the big three or four studios controlled all entertainment.
Yep. Well, that's kind of like what we're going back to. It would seem to some extent.
Well, we still got the boxes for our Galaxy. Note 8s,
mm-hmm.
The boxes are still sitting at our house. We've only had them a while. Already there's talk on the street, of course. No sooner does a product get into consumers' hands than the next product starts getting teased. And the S9 is no exception.
They're getting used to, the next model. If you're someone like my brother who waits for the next thing, you just end up waiting for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and you don't do anything about anything.
Yeah. Now, we've got the... I was a little concerned about the durability of the Infinity Display. Now, the Infinity Display is a little bit between having... is a compromise between having a thin bezel, like the regular S7, or the S7 Edge, which wrapped it all the way around. And the Edge didn't really... A lot of people had problems with it, because if you had a case that would protect the screen,
yep.
Then you lost the Edge.
Yep.
Now, the Infinity screens on our notes have a very slight bevel to them, and they finally solved the problem with the screen protectors. The screen protectors now stay put. We noticed with our S7s, there was just enough of a camber to the screen where the protectors would pop off with the slightest pressure. Both of us have different brand cases for our Note 8s. Brenda, yours is the...
Spec, I think.
Yeah. I've got a Spigen.
Yeah, this is a Spec, S-P-E-C-K.
Yeah. And if you've got a Note 8, what's nice about these is that they have enough, just enough of a raised lip where you can set the phone face down and not scratch it.
Right.
At least on mine.
Or if it lands totally face down on the pavement. However, I will tell you that mine hit a carpeted floor with a, must have hit the edge of the, that plastic pad you put down for your chair, and my screen protector popped off. But
well, at least that absorbed the energy.
Something absorbed the energy, and I sort of stuck my screen protector back on, but it's got problems, and I have to. It's a Zog, Z-A-G-G. They're a wonderful company to work with. I really like those people. I got a new replacement. I got to send my old one back in, blah, blah, blah. And here's a tip. I will digress for a moment. Here's a tip. If you do put the tempered glass protector on your phone screen, Yeah, they're a little pricey, but they can save your screen, and if something happens, better that break than your screen on the phone. Anyway, the guy at Zog told me, make sure that you have turned your phone off for at least 10 minutes before you apply these screens, and then leave it off for a couple hours afterwards.
Yeah.
Right, so that the adhesive has a chance to apply, and then rub the edges of the screen for like 5 minutes. Give it a nice massage so that it has an opportunity to stay in place. And he said in his experience that that eliminates the problem that I had.
Now, what's interesting, of course, is that Samsungs are still not shipping with Android Oreo. If you want the latest and greatest 8.0 operating system, get a Pixel, because the Samsungs do not yet have Oreo. They still have Nougat, which is Android 7.
They will at some point, probably.
Right. There should be an update fairly soon. What happens with these releases is that, first of all, the manufacturer puts their bells and whistles and features, bugs,
yeah,
into the operating system. And then the carrier, in our case Verizon, adds their layer of stuff onto the operating system.
Eats up your device's memory, too. There's always some devoted to the infrastructure within
your... Yeah, the crapware.
Yeah, there's that. And there's always some taken up by the phone's... by necessity,
right,
by the phone's operating system.
Now, the Galaxy 10 or Galaxy X...
They're probably going to object to that.
...is a folding device, supposedly.
It's a concept.
Right.
What's interesting about this is that it imagine your smartphone having a hinge along one side, and when they are opened up, they turn into something on the order of a tablet.
Right. Now, we saw that in
reasonably big.
In Westworld.
Yep.
I mean, everybody had a folding device. That
yes.
was a combination phone-tablet controller.
Yep. And it makes sense that that would be coming. Now, in this case, folding is a hinge in the middle, if you will. So when it's folded, it maintains approximately the same size as your smartphone now. But when you unfold it, boom, there it is, and allows you to see a larger screen or larger portion of the screen.
Now, I've also seen window shade phones that where the screen snaps out. Rolls out and becomes rigid when it's snapped out into place.
Mm.
I'm not sure how practical that is.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, now, in the aftermath of the hurricane that hammered Puerto Rico.
Oh, infrastructure loss. Massive infrastructure loss.
Now, in the first few days after the disaster, after the hurricane moved on, amateur radio operators descended on Puerto Rico to provide basic emergency communications. But you still had an awful lot of people who couldn't be reached.
Mm-hmm.
Alphabet, this was a good opportunity for Project Loon. These are the balloon cell phone
yes.
towers.
Mm-hmm.
The balloons were... deployed over part of the island. They were launched from Nevada and made their way down to Puerto Rico. I'm not sure how you do that with a balloon. You better know what your air currents are. And how do they stay put?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Okay, as an atmospherics type person, how do you get a balloon to stay put when it's hovering over an island?
It wouldn't. It would be subject to the air motions therein, but maybe I don't know, are they perishable? I don't really understand how this system works, because you can't exactly tether it, and the winds aloft would blow it along anyway, and there's almost always some winds aloft, so I'm not really sure how this would work.
They utilize machine learning-powered algorithms to keep the balloons clustered. The balloons, as of the writing of this article last week, were still in service, but they are unsure of how long the balloons are going to stay put. So how long is our power going to go? But this is the fastest that the Loon team has created and deployed balloons to a specific site. And this does show promise for restoring emergency communications to a large area very, very quickly. Because on an island, of course, you couldn't just roll the cell phone trucks down there to set up the portable towers.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they couldn't get there probably.
Right, so... I think that this is an interim technology. I think the balloons will be a part of the solution. I think a longer-term solution is going to be solar-powered high-altitude drones augmenting or augmented by low-Earth orbit satellites, the new generation of Iridium satellites that Musk is supposed to start launching on contract. Will put 80-some-odd low-Earth orbit satellites up with a lot of redundancy built in that will make satellite phone communications considerably cheaper than they've been up to this point.
Near-Earth, not low-Earth. Low-orbit.
Low-Earth orbit.
L-E-Earth. Yeah, low-Earth orbit.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we live in some very interesting times.
Indeed.
But... I think that no one of these technologies is going to be the end-all solution. I think that different solutions are going to work for different combinations of circumstances. But this is a thing that couldn't have been done before.
Yep, yep. It's kind of interesting. You're right. I would have to see. They, you know, it bugs me about these articles. They don't ever give you practical information.
Yeah. Top of the hour, talked about it. I've got an article that I just want to complain bitterly about because when we come back from the break, remind me, Brenda, because this is a topic that's near and dear to your heart. It's near and dear to both our hearts from different perspectives. It's Boomer Tech Radio taking the bottom of the hour break. I'll be back with a little rant about journalism. Or lack thereof, after this.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Thanksgiving buffet on Thursday, November 23rd. Let Elements do the preparing so you can relax and enjoy your valued time with family. Menu includes chef-carved prime rib, roasted turkey, and Dungeness crab with an array of holiday trimmings and delicious desserts. Adults $28 with River Club card, children $11, and children under 5 eat free. Reservations preferred. Call 1-800-280-YOU-WIN. Download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. It's better at the river. Join us at Wind River Resort and Casino's Overtime Lounge as we make your Wednesdays more entertaining with Comedy Night. Enjoy a comical, knee-slapping good time with live comedians every Wednesday. Show starts at 8. What would be great after a long day at the office? Drinks, laughs, hoots and giggles with friends, and a live comedy show every Wednesday night. Enjoy the humor with different comedians every week. No cover charge. For all the details, log on to windriver.com. Must be 21 to attend this hilarious event. Comedy is better at the river.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it, Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs.
And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, November 17th from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Hey, that awesome theme music you hear on Boomer Tech Radio is composed and performed by George Wood. It is off of the PodSafe Music Network and used by permission. Yeah, thank you, George.
Yep.
You want to get in touch with us, BoomerTechRadio at gmail.com. Sign on to the BoomerTech Radio website. Or, of course, you can simply subscribe to the podcast. And show archives are carried at kcnr1460.com/archive. So there's no excuse for you not to be. It might be. I want to go back and pull up one of the oldest shows we've done that's still stored online. And play it back segments of it. Wouldn't that be funny? I might die of embarrassment. But all right. So I am a recovering journalist. I used to be a newsman. Back when there were, back maybe when it meant something. And I'm not disparaging people who work in journalism now. But I have to question, and this is none other than the BBC, and I have met a BBC. I've met a couple of BBC reporters. We had a great conversation with a nice lady from BBC. We were going out to look at some drones in the Nevada desert. Very, very entertaining young woman. The headline reads, "How wireless sensors could help fight forest fires." Well, because I've talked about this for years, and with Brenda about, okay. Speaking as somebody who's been there, done that.
Well, one of the...
For an unnamed government agency.
Well, one of the challenges in wildland fire is knowing where is the fire, how intense it is at any given time. And thermal imaging is huge. They usually wait till night to do that. Until recently, there were very few aircraft available to handle that. So they used Learjets to fly around out there at night and report back. But if there was a new fire breakout or the plane had a mechanical or whatever prioritization, right, and a limited resource.
Expensive to fly a Learjet.
That, but also fairly efficient because they're so fast. You know, you may or may not get an IR run, infrared run, on a fire to know where it is. But lately now there have been some big changes For instance, I know this year the military was deployed to help with that, and drones that have the capability to do thermal imaging, and you can very clearly see where hot spots are and things like that. And so when I read this article, it was like, wow, that could be pretty good. How would that work?
So the tease headline is, how wireless sensors are helping to fight forest fires. Hey, yeah. So we opened the article, and it's a video clip, because apparently people are too damn stupid to read.
Well.
Or lazy to read.
It just, yeah, it isn't that way. And so you watch the video.
Yeah. In the tagline, a wireless sensor network to monitor and help tackle forest fires has been developed with the University of Westminster. The sensors are part of a European-wide firefighting research project tested on fires at Greece, Spain, and Israel. Click BBC to find out more. So
right.
I ran the video,
right,
and it opens with some music and has a couple of lines here. Researchers have made a wireless network to monitor these fires. They have been tested. And then you go to a shot of a guy sitting behind his desk who shows you the sensor.
Yeah.
Is Professor Izzet Kale. And he says, but he never
explains how it works.
He never tells you exactly what it's doing.
Right.
It's a sensor. What's it sensing?
Right. And how does it connect? And how does it work? And how does it benefit that? I not only hate bad science when there's an article that presents bad science, but what I hate even more is articles of any kind that only report these peripheral elements of the story, and they don't get into the meat of it and tell you, and the headline is extremely misleading.
Yeah, the article talks about how durable these are, how cheap they were to make. They have light nodes and super nodes.
How does it get applied?
They're doing what?
Yeah, very annoying.
I really wanted to know what exactly the sensor was sensing and what happened to this data.
Right.
I could make some presumptions.
Right.
What it's doing. If it knows its exact location and it knows the temperature of the surrounding area and the bearing that the heat source is from that location, that would be valuable data if you have enough of these things planted out there.
So here is...
They didn't tell you that.
Here's a case of move along... Nothing to see here, because the content is pretty sketchy.
And while I was trying to get out of the article, I wound up getting bounced into an ad for LendingTree.
You just got to love it, right?
Yeah, so I'm getting back in it.
It's depressing, but, you know, the Internet's like that. Now, you could probably Google this and find out a whole lot more. But the point from your perspective, Bob, is that that's poor journalism.
Tease.
Yeah, it's just a tease. It's not journalism per se.
I want to know how this thing is going to help fight fire. I don't, construction of it, I'm curious about.
Right. Well, either it was a poorly chosen headline, or the content of the article is inappropriate. So, yeah. Oh my goodness. Someday.
The ex-president of Facebook has come out essentially attacking the social media for exploiting a vulnerability in human psychology and putting children's mental health at risk.
That's pretty pointed.
Yeah. Sean Parker, former president of Facebook, who joined Zuckerberg's company in the first few months, said the company's founders intentionally built the site to consume as much human attention as possible. Now, Parker's made billions of dollars from that human attention being consumed. He's criticized Facebook effects on children is that it literally changes your relationship with society, with each other. It probably interferes with productivity in weird ways, and God only knows what it's doing to our children's brains.
Yep. That's one of those things, you know, and as he alleges that the inventors and creators understood this up front, and they go about building it and promoting it anyway.
He goes on to say the inventors, the creators of Facebook, understood this consciously and did it anyway. Parker, of course, he's no slouch to things that are computing. He founded the original Napster.
Which was sort of counterculture in a way. Yeah.
Says he had become a conscientious objector to Facebook. His stint was short-lived. He resigned after a cocaine scandal.
Maybe if you're dealing with some of his stuff, some sort of relief might be that way.
This is in the UK Telegraph, and it is just a
scathing,
slashing piece, yes. Facebook and internet addiction have been found to show up in brain scans in a similar way to drug addiction. Instagram, which is also owned by Facebook, she is shooting selfies on her Instagram. M-I-L-L-E.
If
you haven't watched the millennial song,
yes. That's what that's a reference to.
Facebook was, Instagram was found to have the worst impact on young people's self-esteem, negatively impacting people's body image. In other words, these kids' lives get destroyed because they don't get likes. They don't get enough likes.
It interferes with their sleep because the fear of missing out on what's going on. You know, this is an insidious thing. It's very, very insidious. I also find it really interesting that Facebook recently came under fire because who thought this was a good idea? They want you to post
Your nudes.
Send us your nude selfies or otherwise so that they can block them automatically from revenge porn tendencies. Well, my first thought is, okay, great concept.
These are being stored where?
Right. They're stored where, and when it's known they're there, every hacker in the world is going to be after those.
Oh, my Lord.
Seriously?
What are you people thinking
exactly.
About?
Did they? It took me, like, you know, because I'm older, 2 or 3 seconds to figure this out, but when I was younger, that would have been obvious in a nanosecond. That is a really bad idea.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I do access Facebook to see what a couple of people I know are doing.
Yep.
I use it to promote the radio show.
Yep.
Both Boomer Tech and the KCNR morning show. And that is it. I think I heard you the other night saying that you were going to make a conscious effort to stop watching the damn cat videos.
Well, it's not that so much. I do that like 4 times a year, I go off on some tangent with those, but they are funny. That's the problem with them. They are quite funny, but it's just there's no substance there. I can think of a couple, 3 people on there that actually know what's going on with them as an individual that post substantive content relevant to them. The rest of it's all a bunch of reposting, links to things, and it's like really, if I was seeking that information, I'd go find it on my own. I just bypass those from people because they're not about the people. I want to know about my friends.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple there that are like, that I'm probably going to quit following, and it narrows down the people. So checking into Facebook once a week is starting to look about right.
Yeah. So here's a quick timeline, and it's amazing how fast this happened. 2004, which is the year, by the way, that Brenda and I met. So think about
that's true. About this time of year in 2004. Yep.
Mark Zuckerberg supposedly stealing the idea from a couple of friends, created the Facebook in a Harvard dorm room. In 2006, Facebook allowed anyone over 13 to join and introduced a news feed. Before that, it was more of a MySpace-type thing where you had your own personal page. Now it's all the news feed. they sold a partial stake to Microsoft for $240 million in 2007.
That's only 3 years after its creation. 3 years, only 3 years.
In 2008,
quickly it became a force.
Now look at this growth. 2008, 100 million users.
4 years after its alleged creation.
2009, they introduced the like button. In 2010, they actually started making a profit. In 2012, they bought Instagram for $1 billion, so they already had $1 billion of money to spend.
Yeah.
In 2012, they reached $1 billion. So they went from 100 million to 1 billion users in four years.
Yep.
In 2014, bought the messaging app WhatsApp for $19 billion. In 2015, created internet.org to provide internet access to the rest of the world so they could suck everybody else into the vortex. 2016 saw the launching of Facebook Live, which was immediately put to misuse.
Yes, of course. Because we're humans.
This year reached 2 billion. In other words, a fifth, or not even a fifth, a third of the planet's population.
Monthly active users. Monthly that doesn't count those users that perhaps are not so active.
A former Google engineer named Tristan Harris says that it's a race to the bottom of the brainstem.
I like that. That's a great phrase.
Oh, dear me. So, of course, Facebook, Google, and all these other internet giants compete for your interaction and attention. All you can do is vote with your finger. I have taken intentionally Facebook off of my phone, not the least of which because Facebook on an Android phone is bad juju. It eats the battery like there's no tomorrow. And I just don't, I have no, maybe this makes me an old person. Maybe this makes me a person who is hopelessly out of touch and a dinosaur. Wading myself into the tar pit. But I don't have Facebook on my phone. I
never
see
did.
No compelling reason to immerse myself in the social network.
I
make some use of it when it has a reason. Could I make better use of it? Could I make better use of social media to promote the show? Probably. But I just don't make that conscious decision.
I don't have enough hours in the day to do the things that I have to do, much less getting derailed on social media. And my first thought about something that happens that's cool is not to, oh my gosh, I got to share that on social media with everybody.
Yeah. Now,
that's not my first thought.
On the other hand, I do know people who will proudly proclaim, well, I don't have a computer. Well, that's like, in this day and age, that's like saying, I don't have a telephone.
My mom has experienced the downfall of that recently. She was looking for a print copy of a catalog from a company, and it doesn't exist. They said, oh, well, they send out a few mailings every year, but that's about it. I mean, they say that on their website because they assume that everyone has a computer or access to a computer and can go do stuff online. Because think about that. A large international company is printing out a catalog. That's expensive. That takes a lot of money. And people don't do anything like half the ones I get if I get them in the mail. They go immediately and recycle.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't even turn a page on them. If I want something, I will go online and look for it. Or they can target you with ads, email, cheap, nothing, doesn't cost anything. She has found that this is pretty common, or she wants to talk to a company. Well, what's your email? I don't have email, and it's making it difficult for her to do some of the things that she would like to do because she has no computer access. She could go to the library or something, but that she doesn't do that.
Don't let the technology rule your life, but don't go living in a cave either.
Yeah, that
Find your medium. And I think most of the people who we know, whose circles we travel in, kind of walk that middle road. Yes, it's okay to completely eschew technology, but I'll tell you something. Technology was kind of nice when we were down navigating our boat in the Delta, dodging 10,000-ton tankers out on the San Joaquin River.
Yep, man, it's nice to know what was coming.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a tanker. It was a cargo ship, and it was a monster. Yeah. And we gave that thing a wide berth.
But we also knew it was coming. We knew it was coming before we could see it.
Yeah, we picked it up on there's a system called AIS, Automatic Information System, where boats transmit their location to nearby vessels. And we picked up the signal, and we identified the boat, and whoop, here it come around the corner.
Yep. That, you know, this is just a good example of how technology can obviously be used to the greater good, in this case, marine safety. And so many other applications with that, too. There's things that they put in cars now. A coworker has a Subaru that detected debris coming and actually slowed down the car before the human could react to it, and probably saved them some real headaches with a brand new Subaru. They said it was kind of expensive to have that feature, but it paid for itself within the first 3 weeks of them owning the car.
I could see detection systems. How many cars around here smack into deer and other critters?
Yes, that would be nice, right?
In some cases, with fatal results.
Right. Yep.
Well, not just for the
deer. Not just for the animal. Yes. Yep.
Okay. If you are an owner of a Note 8 Galaxy, and you're not like an Apple fan person who has to show off a naked phone because it's you just love showing it off. You want a little case for the thing.
It's a good idea to have a case for any of your phones, any of them.
But, of course, the Note 8 is a pretty bulky device to begin with.
Well, it's rather large.
Yeah. But there are some nice super thin cases that will provide the protection to your device and won't set you back millions of, you know, hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
Let's see here. The Spigen Thin Fit is available in black, gold, gray, or blue, and it costs $10. Now, I've got a Spigen case that I'm very happy with, and Brenda mentioned earlier that she's got her case. So you don't.
I had my eye on one, but I didn't leave the store without a case on it. I'm just.
And I'm going to say
makes the difference because you will drop it. It will fall off the table. It will get knocked off its surface.
When you buy your phone in the store, and I love the people at our service provider store. Don't buy your case there.
Yeah,
it's like buying your HDMI cable at the same store where you bought your set.
There's that. I did, but you go elsewhere, and they're pretty much all the same price now. Used to be they were pricey up there, but go shopping, though. I mean, if you're going to buy the particular case that I have, you're going to find it the same price most places. But go shopping and find the one like Bob's was $15.
Yeah.
Highly rated.
For $25, Peel makes a very nice case. The nice thing about these cases is that they give you a little grippy.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You can hang on to the phone.
I'm not fans of phone surfaces that are real slick. With arthritic fingers that don't work as well and you think you have a hold of something and you don't really, it's nice to have something that has a little more texture to it and is got a lot more friction so you don't dry it, drop
it. You can find cases for around $10 that'll protect your $800 smartphone.
Yep.
And really save you a lot of headaches because things happen.
And do shop around because it used to be that if you paid nothing for a case, you pretty much didn't have very good protection. But that's not true anymore. These companies are figuring out that they can have a good product at a reasonable price and people will buy it. Consumers are figuring that out as well.
Yep. Well, Twitter announced that they were increasing the number of characters in a single tweet. From 140 to 280, and the world yawned.
I was going to say, I'm not a Twitter, I don't have a Twitter account anyway.
Of course, more and more people are putting out their whole tweets using emojis.
That's really interesting
when
you think about it.
Twitter has cranked up the number of characters you can use in your display name. You had previously you could have a 20 character limit. Now you can put out 50 characters, which is designed to pull in businesses who tweet.
Hmm.
People often use novelty display names with emoji and festive things for the holidays, and display names have also been used as a form of protest to send a message. So now that you can put out 280 characters at a time, you can, tweet away to your heart's content. I think I have sent, and this was when I was at CES, I think I've sent out a total of about 4 tweets. In fact, I've probably forgotten my Twitter handle.
Well, they have a limit on that now, too. 50 characters. They've upped, apparently, the number of total characters in your Twitter name, or what do they call them, display name, is now 50. And think about this, right? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. The current limit is 25 to 30 characters, but you know, what's interesting about this, if you're tempted to use the full 50 characters in your display name, Twitter may kind of truncate the end of it. It's going to crop off a bunch of them. Yeah, so what's the point of using all 50? I don't know.
Finally, we are living with two strange women in the house. In other words, we have the A lady and then we have the G lady. and I got to say, I'm thinking that I'm leaning more into the Google Home.
As I am.
Yeah.
But we need to do a little bit
more. We need to do a little more research. Now, we're not super heavy voice assistant users. Mostly it's for timing. I'll play some music on it.
Oh, maybe alarms. Get the, wake up alarms.
Alarms, things like and the wake up, I will tell you that the wake up alarm on the Google Home is far preferable to Amazon's alarm, which sounds like the klaxon on the USS Enterprise.
Yeah, you're going to startle you out. But the Google Home is really not that harsh to wake up to.
So,
kind of interesting. I wonder what kind of study went into that.
The Google Home system, I'm sort of leaning into. So maybe if you're thinking about a home assistant, think about the Google Home. Echo is nice, but I think Google's going to eventually overtake
it. I think Google Home's been on sale lately, too, somewhere.
Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe. Be good to each other.
Takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I'm Ron DeRockstro. Vice President Mike Pence participated in the annual National Veterans Day observance at Arlington National Cemetery today.
For nearly a century since the guns of the First World War fell silent, on the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month, the American people have observed this day, first as Armistice Day and now as Veterans Day.
The day used to be called Armistice Day. It began November 11th in 1919, the first anniversary of the end of the First World War. President Dwight Eisenhower.